line drive up the middle. Bobby Witt Jr. can't handle it. The Tigers are going to pick up run number three. There it is. Tigers by two. Riley Green, a sizzler up the middle.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
A high fly ball out to left center field. It's in pretty well. Mitchell's going back to the wall. He's out of room. It's gone. Towering opposite field. Home run for Bryce Harper.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
That one's driven out to left center field and deep. Going back, J-Rod, turning, looking, see ya. He checked the box. He's now homered in every ballpark in baseball. A two-run blast, and the Yankees lead 6-1.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan. Happy hump day to all. I'm sorry that we put you to sleep with our open.
What is happening?
An all baseball open.
All baseball. It's baseball season, man. Don't you know that? Catch the fever.
I think three different teams can clinch playoff spots tonight.
Aha.
You can give me $1,000 and I couldn't tell you who the Royals played yesterday.
They won the game.
The Tigers.
They beat the Tigers. They lost to the Tigers. They beat the Tigers. Lost to the Tigers.
Hmm.
One of those two.
Lost to the Tigers.
Lost to the Tigers last night.
Yeah. Detroit is
How were you not watching that? Knew that.
Why were you not watching that last night? What the hell were you doing on a Tuesday night?
I was watching The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Ooh, were you?
I haven't watched
that show.
I haven't watched reality TV in years, and I kept hearing about this show, and so I'm like, all right, let's check this out. Wow.
Next time I go over to the Sprague household, is there going to be a pineapple on the front porch? Are we getting into soft swinging now? Is
there
this the future?
No,
not a thing.
What would you classify as soft swinging, by the way? They were talking about that, and then they got to what it was they were doing.
I think it eventually turned into hard swinging.
No, they for sure were hard swinging.
But they started with just like, hey, we're just fooling around with each other's spouses.
But if your wife came home and said, I was soft swinging today, and she told you what she did, I don't think you'd either, one, want to kiss her on the mouth ever again.
No.
And two, classify that as soft swinging.
No, I would say that's cheating. I think that's what we call that. We call that cheating, and I'm going to go ahead and need you to pack your stuff and get out of the house. So this isn't going to work out for us. Soft swinging, it is remarkable how they have translated this like TikTok trend into what I would imagine is millions of dollars in a reality TV show.
Oh, they're loaded.
They are going to be loaded.
These people are, they have to have old white Utah money. There's no other explanation. One of the couples that was in the soft swinging thing, after it got outed, had so much shame or embarrassment, they just decided to go move and live in Hawaii for 2 months,
just,
of course.
I mean, get out, you know, get out of Dodge. Let's go live in Hawaii.
Bought a house sight unseen. And then decided to move back to Utah, of course, because the show was going to air. And I want to get our moms of TikTok back together again.
Once the dust settles down, we're going back.
And you should have seen the mansion they moved into.
Pretty nice spot.
Yeah.
Now, how are they still allowed, or are they still allowed in the church?
I don't know. I didn't get that far.
Because they're still, I mean, there's soft swinging Mormons, which I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say probably not cool with old Joseph Smith.
I have no idea.
I don't think he's down with that.
I don't know if I'm going to watch again. I'll be honest with you. They are super hot.
Yeah.
But it is very uncomfortable and cringy to watch these people.
Do they show any of the soft swinging?
No,
they don't air any of that.
That would be porn.
I'm out then, man.
That would be porn.
They show a little bit of soft swinging, I'm down. But if they're not showing that, I'm out.
They
bunch
do
of
show
girls
a little
crying. Thank you, I cheated on my husband. I'm out on that. Show me some of the soft swinging I'm in, dude.
One of the gals is a train wreck.
Just watch a Mariners game for that.
I think that's called hard swinging.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's
not from the Mariners.
Well, true. Offensively, it's not hard swinging.
It's hard swinging and missing.
Yeah,
that's called.
It's hard swinging when you try and steal home in the first inning with the bases loaded. Hey-o!
I only know two baseball factoids from yesterday.
What do you got?
Shohei is officially at the 48-48 club.
48,
yes.
Two away.
And Juan Soto has homered in every ballpark in Major League Baseball in his career now.
Just learned that in the open.
There you go.
Fun little factoid for you.
Yeah.
That is kind of a cool fact to say
that
you homered in every ballpark. That's pretty badass.
That's about all the baseball you're going to get out of me. I couldn't tell you who played outside of I saw a Mariner tweet, so I knew they were playing the Yankees.
There's a lot of Yankee fans there.
I couldn't care less. My baseball team's crumbling, so they're out of the playoffs.
Welcome to the club, buddy.
I'm there.
I was watching Josh Pate last night getting his thoughts on Tennessee-Oklahoma. That's more interesting to me than regular season baseball right now.
I was more interested in NFL Live and the takes they're giving on NFL Live than I was what was happening in Major League Baseball.
The only baseball highlight I saw last night was the Mariners in a 3-0 count in the bottom of the first inning against the New York Yankees, and a pitcher who could not find the strike zone elected to try and steal home.
Ah,
with two outs.
Benny the Jet.
3-0 count. Like, you're one ball away from walking home, and he thought the pitcher was not paying attention. He was grabbing the rosin bag, leaning over. I think it was Robles. He just started walking and then stole home, and they threw him out very easily. End of the inning, see you later. And then they lost by 10 runs or 9 runs, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Counterpoint.
Yep.
They would least expect you to steal home on a 3-0 count. So
you got to catch them off guard.
Maybe that was what thinking was.
What? What is happening right now? And no, rally over. And they didn't really sniff another rally the rest of the game.
I felt bad yesterday going home after the show of my comments, because I certainly know we have baseball fans, and baseball playoffs are about to start here in a couple weeks. But I also concluded in my head, I think I just don't like baseball anymore.
You're just out on the sport in general? I'll tell you this.
I'll go to a game. I'll root for my team if they're in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I'll maybe catch a little bit of the playoff action. You cannot get me to care anymore. Yeah.
It's unfortunate that we both have reached that with our others' respective sports, because that sums up how I feel about the NBA.
Oh, I think there's a lot of people that are with you on the NBA stuff.
Well, I think everybody's with you on baseball too. Like, let's not act like people are glued to Twins and Guardians last night. Like, I don't even know if they played, but I don't think people were glued to it. That's like when we get to those like regular season games in February, and it's a TNT. Like, hey, look at that, we got a good little TNT game tonight. It's like, you know. I'll turn it on, maybe, if I'm around. Right. I'll watch it a little bit, but
yeah,
it's just sad.
I'm weird.
It's a regular season game. Doesn't matter to
You've
me.
You've known you were weird your whole life.
Yeah, you got issues.
I watched three baseball games yesterday.
The minute you didn't like strawberries, you're like, well, I'm a little weirdo. Like, that was the minute you knew.
I don't like yogurt. It is so unfortunate, because I feel like there is a fix that they will never do in both sports. And the fix is to shorten the season, add sense of urgency,
yeah,
have the playoffs be at a more reasonable time. If the baseball playoffs had been going on
NBA,
in August,
right,
would be incredible.
It'd baseball, take over the whole month.
Yes, baseball there's nothing going on.
Baseball won't. The owners are more stubborn. They want the gate. They won't. Basketball could.
But they're not getting the gate. Go look at the attendance.
Is attendance up or down? I don't know. I know
it depends
on
where you are.
It depends on the city, obviously. Yeah. But like, how many ballparks do you see that are just empty?
So there's a few of them when you flip on a game.
Think the A's care about the gate?
No.
I could see they
care about revenue sharing.
Exactly.
Yankees, can we have our money now, please?
Yeah. I could see the NBA shortening it down, because they're talking about, well, they're going to expand by at least two teams, but there's some thoughts that they could expand by six.
They expanded the season. You play an extra game now if you go to the in-season tournament cup.
I know, but if
and it's lengthened out. They started an earlier date, don't they?
They've gone the opposite way.
Yeah.
If you expand to 36, you can.
Why are you going to six extra teams here? They're going to go to two first.
There's two that are going to get done.
They're not going to 36.
Continuing to talk about Mexico City. They want another team in Canada. Kansas City has wanted a team forever.
They have an arena too.
They have an arena.
There.
There's other ones. But if you go to 36, you can do a 70 game regular season, and it's a home and home with every team.
Yeah, see, you're diluting the talent pool too much to only be cutting off 10 games. If you're going to cut 10 games off, just keep it at 32.
Yeah, that's the hard part. Like, how many irrelevant NBA teams are there right now?
Right.
And there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And if you add six more teams, that's just...
There's enough talent to fill the rosters. It's just there's not enough good management to make those teams
well,
good.
And it's also a sport where guys want to play in. Like, how many markets in the NBA are desirable to play in for players, for star players to want to go to?
Yeah, I mean, that depends on the person.
Sure, everybody's going to have different perspectives, but it's largely going to be the same teams that everybody's going to... Or cities that everybody's going to want to go to eventually. That's the hard part with it. The NBA should start later. I just think they get drowned out in October and November and December, and if you started later, there maybe be a little more buildup for it. Baseball needs to end sooner. They could dominate August.
Yeah.
If you had your playoffs throughout the month of August, what the hell else has been going on? You got NFL preseason football.
Nobody cares.
College training camps. Like, there's nothing. There's literally nothing. A random golf tournament or tennis event. That's it. You could dominate the month of August, but you get to this point, you just get lost in the shuffle.
I counted six. Six NBA teams. Now, there are more than six bad NBA teams, but six cities
that are just irrelevant
that I don't think they are cared about.
Okay.
Brooklyn.
Yep.
Detroit. And I know they care when they win, but they're not showing up. They're not watching those games.
It's been 20 years since that happened.
Yeah. Atlanta.
Yep.
Charlotte.
Yep.
Washington.
Definitely.
Who is the Clippers.
No doubt.
And that was kind of it for now.
That's it for now?
That's it for now.
Okay.
If Zion ends up just getting fat and exploding and then they leave,
I think
New Orleans is a weird city.
Orleans is a prime candidate to sneak into that category.
They're kind of like Detroit. Like, if they're bad, they're not showing up. They don't care.
No.
If they're somewhat respectable, they'll show up and watch.
I would argue historically, now not right now, but historically, Minnesota has definitely been that.
Yeah, I didn't count them because now they have Ant.
Now they're good. Yeah. And Orlando, I think, has also been that historically.
Orlando is up and down. When they're okay, like right now, I think they're in on them.
They've had their ebbs and flows.
They're the baby magic.
They're excited. The Bulls are probably that too.
Well, the Bulls deserve, but like they have such a history with the Ty Jordan era that I can't put them on that list.
Yeah, just that's the tough. And then you add six more teams into the mix on that.
I don't think they're gonna do six for a while.
Yeah, two's a good place to start,
and then you settle it for a decent amount of time, and then you look to expand.
Vegas and Seattle make a lot of sense. Seattle should have a team. They have a new arena. Yeah. Vegas should have a team. Everybody wants to go to Vegas.
I think those city's ridiculous.
I think those two are done. Done whenever they get around to figuring out how they're gonna expand.
I'd be really upset if Mexico City got a team.
I would too.
Be honest with you.
I absolutely would too.
Like, do the players want to live in Mexico City?
No.
And it's like the elevation is insane.
You're going to have to travel in and out of Mexico
City. Portland game.
No, thank you. That's a whole, the international push for leagues. I understand from a financial standpoint why they want to do it. It drives me nuts as a fan.
Having a team there is different than playing a game.
A game. Yeah. A regular season game, a series. Sports will do that. Having a team actually based there, like, are we going to get a Premier League team in New York City because we want to expand in it? Like, we would never do that. Never.
Yeah, the Premier League's not linking our,
no.
our way,
we're
going to
put a team in Los Angeles. It's a good soccer market. What? Expand on our capital.
Oh, baseball. I love you.
It's almost over, buddy. It's almost over.
Thank God.
I'll watch the playoffs. I'm still standing tall on that. I'll watch the playoffs.
Get it out of my life. Terrible. Brewers Royals World Series. My God.
It's already over for me. It's almost over for you. We know it'll be over for Swag in the first round.
You know
it's done for some Mariners.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, I mean, look, the Mariners have been climbing closer and closer, and then the Yankees come to town, and I'm just like sitting in my, like, they're going to get exactly what they know.
Looked like batting practice for the Yankees last night.
We complained about short porches with the Yankees right now.
Didn't matter. Soto
didn't matter.
400 and whatever feet.
Do you know what the only thing I have to look forward to at the playoffs, if my team is not in it? And my team's not even good. Like, if they make
Dodgers can't pitch. They have no pitching.
It's your
whatsoever.
Team falling on their face and not winning the World Series. It's about the only thing I got to look forward
to. The only way the Dodgers are going to win and advance in the playoffs is, you know, scoring.
Shohei, there's a report Shohei might pitch.
Oh.
I'm not buying that.
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't think they're throwing that out there.
Don't want to blow that elbow for next year, though. I don't know. A little risky.
I mean, I don't really care.
Glasnow's not coming back now. I don't know if they have three starting pitchers.
Dirt, what? Do you hear that? Wait, put your ear to the mic.
Trying to listen.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Let me put. Oh, what's I do. Saying? I do hear the excuse making ahead of the playoffs.
It already started.
I already hear it.
We got a billion dollar
franchise, and they we don't have any pitching, and Glasnow's gone.
It's such a weird combination because I can at the same time acknowledge a Dodger Yankee World Series is exactly what the sport needs for relevance and attention and eyeballs.
Absolutely,
desperately could use it.
Yeah.
While also, I am going to be rooting for them to both lose immediately in the playoffs because it is so funny when the Yankees lose and the Dodgers lose early in the playoffs. There's nothing that's funnier
Dodgers
than that.
Might get stuck in the wild card.
Oh, here it is.
Oh, here we go.
Doom and gloom.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, we got $1 billion player that we pay 10 cents a year for.
Shohei Ohtani doing something nobody's ever done in the history of baseball.
He's going to be a 50-50 player.
We're not good enough.
Oh, man. We didn't add enough talent.
No, they did. They couldn't keep him healthy.
Oh, we're not healthy.
They used 25 different starting pitchers this
year. Play the Band-Aid song for him.
Why don't you operate on the Brewers' budget and get back to me, okay?
Get out of here.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks. Who the hell's on that team?
Ridiculous.
Oh, my dad's second yacht's being repossessed.
Oh, how tough for
you.
Our
local TV deal is only $300 million a year. How can we survive?
We got Shohei for $5 a year. We pay him in 35 years. You don't know what it's like.
That's the best annual tradition, man. We're rooting against them in the playoffs.
Dave Roberts has only won one World Series and been to two. Our lives are so difficult.
It's brutal. I think he's been to three.
Three.
He's been to three.
They want to run him out of town.
They lost to the Astros, they lost to the him. Red Sox, and then won the COVID
That's
year.
Right.
They've been to three.
And they hate him.
They do.
It's
they hate
unbelievable.
Hate his guts.
God.
Look at that baseball stuff right out of the gate today.
Yeah, there you go.
Catch the fever.
That's
Soto
it.
Mojo.
It's off the show sheet.
Soto Mojo.
I didn't even have it on the show sheet. I had Mormon wives to talk about, but you wanted to talk baseball.
Hey, that was you. I was into the soft swinging, man. I'm down.
All right. Well, we're down to hang out and be here with you on a happy hump day. Speaking of soft swinging, it's a hump day.
It is.
And we will be soft swinging our way 6 to 9 a.m. today. It's a Josh Pate Wednesday. So we'll soft swing with Josh Pate at around 7:40, dive into the world of college football. Largely no great games. There's a few games of note that I've got on the show sheet. We got some college football news we need to get to that came out last night. I'm tired of talking about it, and yet every other day there's a new story about it.
Hmm.
So we'll get to that coming up. NFL Zigger Zag, thank you for putting that in the show tease. I finally remembered.
I was proud of myself for that.
I was proud of you for
remembering
that.
I was like,
that.
That's right. It's a Wednesday. We do that on Wednesdays.
And this is actually, weirdly, the show of dirt.
Oh.
I am labeling Wednesday's show the show of dirt. I'll explain what that means at 7 a.m. But coming up next, dirt was onto something, and it kind of bothers me. Next on The Fan.
In a little tent. This is Dirt and Sprague, Gone 1080, The Fan. I've been running
ever since. It's been a long I hate interrupting Sam Cooke.
So good.
Feel sacrilegious. I'll ask his forgiveness when we meet when I die.
I'm going to make an argument. This might be the greatest song of all time. It's in my mix. It's
definitely on my list.
It's on my Mount Rushmore.
I'll say that. It's absolutely in the conversation. Cue up the real breaking news. We have official real breaking news.
We do.
6:20 a.m. today.
That was broke a couple of weeks ago, but now officially breaking news.
It is official. The city of Portland is pleased to announce, in partnership with the WNBA, we're getting a franchise. Woo! We got a new team coming to the city of Portland. The WNBA has picked Portland, Oregon, USA, as Kevin Calabro would say. Welcome to the dub.
The crowd loves it. The crowd's going crazy.
Crazy.
The crowd's going crazy for this news.
I'm going crazy for
this. This is really cool. It's awesome. And it's funny how when you look at the trajectory, it's a hard word to get out at 6:22 in the morning, of certain sports. If you would have had this announcement 3 or 4 years ago, I still think it's cool. It's awesome. The WNBA should have always been in Portland. We support women's sports better than any other city on the face of the planet. So we definitely should have had a team. It's just remarkable though how much has changed around that league in the last even 18 months and the different conversations, the ratings. It is an exploding product right now. And talk about striking while the iron is hot. A great time to get in. We were just discussing baseball and things to do in the summer. And if the playoffs were in August, we'd actually have something to watch and it wouldn't just be sitting around waiting for football season.
Yeah.
I don't know forever. We're probably never going to get a baseball team. And this is going to give us something to do in the summer, man. And I am genuinely excited for it. It should be a better product than whatever the hell the Blazers are throwing out right now. Caitlin Clark's coming to Portland once a year. I am jacked for this news, man. It's awesome.
I am too. My family, we got league pass for the WNBA this year. Caitlin Clark was a big reason for that. But I've, you know, told my family some of the older players in the league. And so my wife and my daughter watch this just about every day. The season is winding down into the playoffs here, coming up in a few days. I'm pretty excited about it. It'd be something fun to do in the summertime when you're looking for some sports or, you know, you're looking for positive influences for daughters that are in your house.
Yeah, who are into basketball or into sports, whatever.
Yeah, I think the other part of this, if I'm not mistaken, this is 2026 when they're going to be here, so they got to renovate things in the Coliseum.
Yeah, they'll come in with the Toronto franchise. The Golden State Valkyries will start play in 2025.
Okay,
so, and then two more get added to the bunch the next
two
year.
Two more. Toronto comes in with Portland in 26, and there are a lot of rumors that there will be more. Another team to make it 16 in the league.
Yeah, okay. So if my math is mathing correctly here, and it is 6:30 a.m., so pardon me if I'm wrong.
Very early.
I believe Portland's franchise hits the draft when we can draft Juju Watkins.
Now, how does that work with expansion?
That's what I don't know about the WNBA versus the NBA, because the NBA would just load you up with the random players from other teams.
You get to you protect certain guys on your roster.
An expansion draft. Teams will get to protect, I don't know, 8, 10 or whatever off their roster. They have to set the. I was looking to see if the rules were set for Golden State, and I hadn't seen any yet. But I would imagine you would, for them, there's 12 teams, so I would imagine you could, you know, you pick one off every team of whoever they make available. The question is, players that are free agents, will they be, when can they start signing them? So there's a timing of it. And then they would have a draft pick. I don't know how they would be folded into.
Probably just into the lottery, I would imagine.
Expansion draft, the last time they had it, it was 08, so it's a long time. It was in February, and they protected 6 players from being picked. So that number might change.
I could see that going up to 8, maybe.
And then the Atlanta team was given the 4th overall pick in the 08 draft.
Yeah, I think they don't want to probably give you the number one pick, or I don't know if there's a lottery.
I believe there is a lottery for the teams that don't make the playoffs.
And then I would imagine the expansion teams are probably in the lottery or some shape or form.
They'll be between, like, they'll probably be 4 and 5 or something. Like, the top 3 will be the teams that sucked the year before, and then
You'll have a high draft pick. It'll probably take you a while to build a roster that can win. I don't know how long it took those teams in 2008, the last time they expanded. But it's just, I think to your point, I don't have daughters. I mean, we'll probably have another kid at some point. It's something that's just exciting for people to have role models, games to go to. I know the Thorns have been a huge success over the years here. I'm not the biggest soccer guy. We all know that. But the support is awesome. My niece goes to games constantly. And so just to have another option, especially during the summer.
Especially, spring and summer. So the season starts in May. And this coming Saturday or Sunday is the final day of the regular season. So their playoffs will start next week. And they had an extended break for the Olympics this year, so it's probably pushed back a week or two from what it normally is.
Do we go fire or do we redo it?
I don't know. I was thinking about that.
I don't want fire again. I think I'm out on fire.
Really? You don't like fire?
We have too many fires right now. I think I'm out on fire.
You just like
we have a bit of a fire problem.
Yeah, every summer it's a bad fire problem.
I don't know if I want that connotation, you know?
They do have, I mean, I'll just say this. Bare minimum, all I'm asking or demanding, red and black.
Yeah. Yes.
Red and black. Do whatever you want name-wise. I'm sure it won't be awful. Do red and black. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, we're going to have to noodle the rest of the day on potential team names. This is going to be fun. Well, I remember when we did this with baseball for like 3 straight weeks on shows. What should we name it? Like a different fish names getting texted
what
in.
What part
mountains,
of
Bigfoot.
The Portland identity do you think they should tap into?
Well, I like the Rose City instead of Portland. Let's start there. Be a little different. Be a little non-traditional. We know we're in Portland. It would not offend me if we were called the Rose City somethings.
Okay, here is a random website that gave 10 options for Portland's WNBA team names. You ready for these? The Fire is number 10.
All right.
Number 9, the Rosebuds.
Yeah, see, Rose City Rosebuds would be kind of weird. Too gimmicky.
Little bit. Rose City Royalty.
Okay.
Rose City Riveters.
Yeah.
Did I say that right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Riveters.
Yeah.
We want to play on the Riveter thing still?
The Portland Pennies.
Pennies?
I'm just reading the names. Okay. Portland Steelheads?
Nope.
No.
We don't want out on.
No.
Portland Mountaineers?
No.
Kind of out on that.
No.
Portland Pathfinders?
No.
Portland Talents? What are we doing here?
All right. Well, that's I don't know what website you went to. Namegenerator.com or something.
What are we doing here? Come on. We can get better than that.
I don't know where they'll go with it, but just red and black. Red and black is of the most importance to me.
You keep the color scheme going. I do know the Coliseum's undergoing serious renovations right now. I think it's supposed to be done relatively soon because the Hawks are going to start playing games there, but they all had to move their offices out. They're all their offices and practice. All of that stuff is gone, so no preseason things are happening at the Coliseum. So I don't know how long that's going to last for, but I know they're doing serious renovations there. I don't know if this was specifically a part of that or not. And eventually the Moda Center has to go through renovations before we host the Women's Final Four in 2030. So that eventually has to take place. So I'm sure they'll end up playing some games in the Coliseum, but it's exciting news, man. Sometimes I get frustrated at how much of a minor league market that we are and the minor league attitude that we have. And while this is not a core four sport, it is a sport that is exploding in popularity that I have watched more of in the last calendar year than I have in my entire lifetime. And it's a great time to get into this, and I'm excited for it.
I can't wait for you to demand them trade somebody out of here.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
She's only averaging like 7 points. In
What's
four
it going to take to get Caitlin Clark? How can we create that package? Huh? How many players and draft picks can we put together?
Would never happen.
Make it happen. Let's go.
I want to know what Sabrina Ionescu's contract situation is.
When she a free agent?
When it's time to expand?
You think she wants to live here instead of living in New York?
Absolutely, she does.
Her and Hronas live here in the off season, or do they live in California?
She was at the Duck game on what game? Idaho game? I think she was at the Idaho game.
When we were at the Storm game, Grasso was at the Oregon game, and so we had seen her the night before.
Sabrina signed a 2-year contract with the New York Liberty.
Give her the bag.
$400,000. She is a free agent in 2020, an unrestricted free agent
here
in 2026.
We're coming.
Let's go.
Hello, Sabrina.
Let's go, baby.
All right. If you're just tuning in, the Portland WNBA team is here. It's officially announced by the WNBA. The league announced it this morning. Congratulations to our good friend Sean Hyken, who broke this news weeks ago that it was happening. He was right. Yes. And congratulations.
I'm told there is a press conference scheduled for sometime
later today, around the 2:30 mark. Something there's going like to be that. A big party celebration thing. Congratulations to Bill Orem. No shirt needed to be eaten.
Nope, keep that shirt on.
Dirt strikes again, and I'm quite upset by it. And get to maybe some of this college football news. We got Zeger Zag at 45. Back with more. All right, welcome back in. We just coming off the big WNBA news that officially coming back to the city of Portland. Delighted to hear it. We got the NFL Zeger Zag to get to at 6:45.
Ready to zig and zag.
I labeled this show at the start the Dirt Show. There's a lot of dirt stuff on this show, and some of this pains me, but it needs to be addressed.
You want to do a segment on the PGA Live rumor? They're getting closer to an agreement.
You know what I said about baseball earlier? Wake me 4 times a year for that sport. No, so yesterday people quite enjoyed your theatrical performance on the program. Butthurt Dirt strikes again.
Butthurt Dirt comes out every now and then. And you never know what it's going
to
be.
People do demand from time to time Butthurt Dirt to show himself over a ton of different things. Yesterday I got home and I thought, Butthurt Dirt was nice to have today. And I got home and I went, what?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, Swigard. You sometimes don't realize how powerful your microphone is until you get home and see other people say, I listened to that program today. I'm going to copy this guy. Nick Kostos, national radio host on You Better You Bet.
Oh, what did he say yesterday?
Like, enough with Jason Kelce. Enough with the Kelces. Like, they're great. They're entertaining. They're Hall of Famers. Also, can we just talk about the game? Like, is the game not enough? Do we not love football? We all watch the game. Everyone watches. It's the most watched thing in America. We bet fantasy, props, everything. Can we just do the game? Is it so much to ask for? Is the game not enough? Go away, Jason Kelce. See you later.
Preach, brother. Preach, brother. You're preaching to my choir.
I also saw Kyle Brandt in talking about this yesterday on the NFL Network.
Yeah.
Said the E in ESPN yesterday, he's talking about Monday, stood for Eagle.
The Eagle Sports Network.
I had no idea this was going to be a thing. I thought Dirt's being weird. He's finding the crotchety old guy angle here.
Dirt was tapped into the heartbeat of America.
Dirt was absolutely plugged in with
everything. I'm a common man. I make auto parts for the common man. This is what I do, man. This is what I do.
Because that's who we are, and that's what we care about. That's right. Now put your head up that bull's ass and get a T-bone steak for
me. A little coat.
Look, I know it's kind of dumb. It's one of those stupid rants to go on, but I just was sitting at home watching. Like, I have been watching Buck and Aikman. How long have Buck and Aikman been calling games together?
I don't know, 20 years.
Over 20, decade, like my entire life.
Yeah.
And I just was sitting at home thinking to myself, they have never done this. Never. This isn't a preseason game. This isn't NBC Sports Philadelphia. This isn't game 82 of the regular season in baseball. This is a Monday night football game that's going to have 20 million people viewing. And for the entire third quarter, they were interviewing a guy about his podcast.
Yeah,
and about Big Dom and his South Philly, Philly suit and his retirement.
I just didn't care enough because that game was so
bad. Well, I don't think
bad.
you were watching the Manning Cats, so you weren't even in these waters with
me. I wouldn't have cared.
You weren't seething at home with me.
I wouldn't have cared.
Look, and it didn't affect me. It was more so just the disrespect of, like, the fans who are Atlanta fans who were turning in to watch their team on Monday Night Football, and that's the broadcast they're given. That was the main argument that I had.
I thought that was actually the funniest part of your argument was you were talking to Falcon fan. And I'm like, standing like up for 45 of them.
I'm standing up for Falcons fans, dude. We're dirty burden together. Go Kirk Cousins.
Can you not be white guy with fist stuff?
Sorry,
it's always a little uncomfortable. You never know where you're going with that.
Doing the dirty, I'm just going to do the dirty bird over here.
Well, that's, you know.
What do you think? Huh? I got some rhythm over here?
Yeah, now you're the weird white guy on the dance floor. It's like, oh.
Look, they call me a trendsetter. What can I say? Sometimes when I rant about things and you guys think I'm just a kooky old white guy, maybe you should listen. Maybe you should listen. Maybe you should pay attention.
I literally heard Kostas do this rant, and I went, damn it. No.
He's on to something, man.
No.
He's on to something.
He was right.
You're damn right I was. The Kelce's a little much. I love them both. They're entertaining. Their podcast is great. It's a little bit market oversaturation right now.
What's funny to me is we always have to say they're great. They're amazing. They're entertaining. Oh, they're hilarious. But crap on them for the next 3 minutes. It's a weird thing we have to do right now because of the most famous
podcast.
That's
one of the toughest parts of comedy is to knowing when, you know, the joke is over.
Yeah. And when it's too much.
Yeah.
I mean, when they were at the
they
U.S.
They just got a $100 million deal.
They're
the podcast.
Million dollars.
Tell me where the podcast is.
And
if I
listen.
Need more Kelce,
that's why they brought him on
I
broadcast.
Know where to find it.
To tell you where the podcast was.
Free, I don't think they need any help. It's the number one podcast in the world
now. It is.
They don't need Buck and Aikman's endorsement to make it a bigger deal. They just signed a $100 million deal to do a podcast. Now I'm losing it again. Deep
I know.
Breaths, deep breaths.
All right.
If I get...
Somehow Kostas, I think, beat you in the rant.
Yeah, he's
a better rant than
body hurt. Butt hurt.
He's a better rant.
He's got that New York rant energy. He'll really put it in.
Yeah,
dude, that's him about like a second down
dog,
play call about
that's
the Giants,
Mad Dog
man.
Russo level right there.
Like, I want to be Philly. I want to be New York and boo the hell out of my team at every turn. But I just, if you're not from there, it's not quite in your bloodstream.
You're so too Selwood.
I'm trying to become more of that,
you're
but I will never fully be that. If I saw Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift snuggling at the U.S. Open one more time in my algorithm, I was considering deleting my Twitter account.
Really?
Like, I don't care that they're there. I don't. Awesome for them. God. I'm happy that they're happy. That's great. I don't need 37 different video angles. Did you see they were singing along to a song? I believe in a thing called love. Oh my gosh, guys. Can you believe it? This is wild.
A Taylor Swift free NFL zigger zag is next for Butthurt Dirt on the Fan. It pains me. And I repeat, it pains me. To tell you that at 7 a.m., I have to acknowledge that Dirt was right about something else.
Uh-oh, what else did I get right now? I'm on a heater today, dude.
This isn't even a butthurt Dirt thing. This was just, you were right. You were right, and I need to acknowledge it, and then we'll get to the college football news.
Whenever you want to tell me I'm right, I'm down, buddy. I'm down.
People love butthurt Dirt.
They do. They need more butthurt Dirt.
Now, I think the weirder things that you get butthurt about make it more interesting.
Well, honestly, here's my problem. When Butthurt Dirt comes out slowly but surely, what I have the problem with, as I self-analyze myself as a host, I'm like Trump at the debate. I take the bait, and now I'm yelling about people eating dogs. And when I get angry about something, and I throw my anger out there, and you two jackasses know exactly what you're doing and pretend like, oh, this is no big deal, and you egg me on, you throw more bait out there, and then my butt hurt goes from like a 2 to a 10.
Yeah.
And it just rises quickly because I'm like, how are you not agreeing with me on this? And then I'm more angry at you guys for not agreeing with me than I am my original butt hurtness over whatever it was.
Never want your butt hurt to go from a 2 to a 10.
No.
It's
no.
a bad indication that no. something's happening that you're not a fan of.
Yeah, limit your butthurtness.
We will get to things at the top of the hour. It is time for NFL Zigger Zag. Let's start here. 41 points, 489 yards, a near win in Buffalo, and so far their quarterback has 4 TDs, no picks. Dirt, the Arizona Cardinals are an impressive 1-1? Maybe?
I'll zig on that.
I didn't ask you zig or zag.
I thought that was you said. Are they an impressive 1-1?
Well, I didn't. Do we call it an impressive 1-1?
Yeah.
You see my hang up here?
I mean, they blew a 17-point lead and then beat a team without any starters left.
Beating Buffalo and Buffalo would have been huge.
It would have been an impressive 2-0. Okay. I don't know about an impressive 1-1.
We discussed the Seahawks yesterday as well with defensive stuff, Geno's start. Zig or zag, the Cardinals are better than the Seahawks.
I'm going to zag on that. Now, maybe not right now, even though Seattle's 2-0 and Arizona's 1-1, and that sounds kind of funny. Seattle has eked out wins over two teams that I don't have a lot of respect for. I do have respect for the Bills, and the Cardinals damn near won that game. They blew the lead, and then they blew out the Rams, who are just a shell of themselves from where they were maybe a couple of weeks ago. I hate to be a broken record on this. I got nothing against the guy. I don't trust him long-term throughout the course of the regular season. I'm talking about Kyler Murray. He has had these starts where it's been 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks where we're putting him into a conversation of a top 5 or top 10 NFL quarterback. And then in the back end of the year, he gets a hamstring tweak and he can't move as much and you hem him into the pocket and he's not the same guy, largely because of his height concerns that are very similar to the things we've talked about with Bryce Young. But he's bulkier, he's an elite athlete, and when he's healthy, especially with Marvin Harrison playing the way that he did this past weekend, they look like a dangerous offense. I just don't know how much trust there can be there for weeks 13, 14, 15, and on. And I look at Seattle as a team with a new coach that I think is only going to get better on the defensive side of the ball as the year goes on. And Geno Smith is playing as good as any quarterback in the NFL 2 weeks into the season. So not just a record thing, 2-0, 1-1. I just long-term trust. I can't remember if I'm zigging or zagging, but Seattle is better than Arizona. I can't remember which one was which. I would take Seattle right now.
It might be an indicator your rant was too long. You forgot where you even went.
I did.
Nico Collins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, is tied for 5th in receptions and 1st in receiving yards. He's had some pretty impressive catches this year, too. He had a catch in week 1 against the Colts that I don't know how he caught the ball on the sidelines falling away. Zig or zag, he is a top 3 wide receiver in the NFL. So you're striking while the iron isn't quite hot yet. It's warming, though. Do you want to get in now and proclaim it before everybody else does? Or do you want to just wait and come late to the party, pal?
Do I want to be on time or late? Do injuries matter right now? Like currently healthy top 3 wide receiver or just in general top 3 wide receiver?
I'm talking in general. I've seen all their games. I knew he was the number 1 on that team. And he's been even better than I thought he would be.
Yeah, I mean, his explosion last year when he finally had a quarterback was incredibly impressive. He's averaging 18 yards a catch.
They got him on a great deal this summer, too.
They do have him on a great deal. I think I'm going to zag on that, though. I'm going to zag on that, and I'm going to be late to the party. I still think Justin Jefferson's the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Very fair. I do, too.
I think Devontae Adams, if he was playing in a system with an elite quarterback, we would still talk about to this level.
He is. He had 110 yards this week.
And that's with Gardner Minshew, right? I mean, put him with C.J. Stroud, put him with Allen or Mahomes or any of these other guys. I think his numbers are even bigger.
There's two.
And then I think you could go a million different places. Tyreek Hill, who is still the fastest guy in the NFL. Cooper Kupp, when healthy, is the best route runner in the
league. Tyreek Hill's not even faster than Arch Manning.
Easy. So I'm going to zag on that for now. I'm going to zag on that. Jamar Chase, I know he's got some weird contract stuff going on right now. He is in the mix. He's in that next category of guys, but I'm going to zag on top 3.
Let's go to Philly, where the Eagles fans have had enough. And so do the radio hosts. Here is a post-game thought. They played the blame game on WIP after the Monday Night Football game.
Be a blame ball. Who does it go to?
Kellen Moore, 100%. I hated his play calling on the first drive when Saquon Barkley wasn't featured. I hated it on the second drive when Saquon went 9-9-11. And then they bring in Kenny Gainwell. I know he needs a breather, but it's the second drive of the game. And then the pivotal 3rd and 3. The Atlanta Falcons had no timeouts.
Can we mention a name that we haven't said yet today? But you traded a 3rd-round pick for Jahan Dotson? Like, really? Really? One catch? One target?
I mean, Covey was much better.
Brutal.
WIP, having a good one. A pretty normal one. Eagles are 2-7 in the last 9 games.
Oof.
Struggle bus. Blew that game to the Falcons in which they should have won. Reed Blankenship, their safety, was asked about the postgame. What was said by Sirianni? He said no coaches said anything in the locker room. He said Jalen Hurts spoke to the team. And then he added, quote, we're a player-led team at the end of the day. We know what we did is on us, end quote. Pretty simple one for you here. Zigger Zag, Sirianni is coaching his last season in Philly.
I'm going to zig on that. I felt that way coming into the year. They did have a nice, impressive win in week one, a game that went back and forth in Brazil against Green Bay. But you blow that lead late, Philly's not going to stand for losing long. Their next two games are on the road against New Orleans and on the road against Tampa. I'm not even guaranteeing they're going to lose both of them, but I doubt they win both of them. And so you're sitting there at 2-2 through 4 weeks. The benefit they have going for them is the NFC East looks like a dumpster fire like it traditionally has been. Not a lot of confidence in the Cowboys. I'm not buying the Commies, even though they got a win this weekend. And the Giants are maybe one of the most worst-run organizations in all the sports. But they need to win, and they need to win big this year in order for him to keep his job. Just making the playoffs again is not enough. Getting blown out in the wild card round, not going on a deep playoff run, they will move on from him, and I'm going to zig on that because I'm not picking Philly to go on a deep run right now.
And finally, to wrap up NFL Zigger Zag, Mel Kiper Jr. had this to say about the Bryce Young situation.
Yes, his confidence was shattered, right? Yes, he does need to sit behind Andy Dalton for a little bit, but to blame this on Bryce Young is ridiculous. This is the blame here goes to the organization, the owner, for mishandling this young quarterback.
LeBron tweeted his support for Bryce Young, told him to hold his head high, it's not his fault, and to hang tough.
It's a random one. Do they have a relationship?
I mean, he's
just just athletes.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if they were like
LeBron's just a big football
same
fan.
Agency or something like that.
I've seen Bo Nix run for his life. We watched Caleb Williams on Sunday Night Football look like he was going to get murdered, and the tape follow through stuff, the tape breakdowns on Twitter on Monday from that game.
Yeah.
Holy hell, the offensive line in Chicago was a disaster. Bryce Young has certainly taken his beating in Carolina. I'm going to ask you very easily. Zigger Zag, NFL teams will start to already reconsider playing their young quarterbacks right away in order to get their offensive line figured out, given what we've seen so far from the rookie quarterbacks.
It's the thing we've debated for years, right? And every time it comes up, people get passionate about it. I'm going to zag because NFL teams are stupid largely, and they care more about tickets and entertainment, and we got
saving
a guy
on the cheap.
Right. I mean, that's what they want. And so, as long as that's going to be the case, that's going to be their determining factor. There's no chance that they're going to get smart and not play guys. The hard thing about the whole offensive line conundrum, like we got into this with Drake May with a listener in New England. I said it's dumb, he should play. Listener said that's stupid, their offensive line's terrible. Well, their offensive line's been fine through two games, ironically. But how long do you wait? So what if your offensive line sucks in year two? Do you not play him in year two?
He seems like he's a guy that's going to play in like week seven.
I mean, he's eventually going to get in, yeah. But I just think the larger point. So Caleb, let's use him as an example. Their O-line sucks right now.
Terrible.
Is it going to be elite next year?
I don't know.
So then do you not play him next year?
They're panicking in Chicago about this.
They are immediately.
That line's way worse than people thought it would be.
It doesn't take long. And also maybe give a little bit of respect to Justin Fields of what he was dealing with last year, because the offensive line was worse last year than it was this year. He was running for his life on every single play. I zag on that. NFL teams will always try and push their guy out, give their fans something to be excited about. That's more important to them.
All right, there we go. NFL Zigger Zag every Wednesday at 6:45. Loaded second hour of the program. Dirt was right. I hate to admit it, but Dirt was right. And an update on this college football story that just never stops. Hour number two, and Josh Pate stopped by on The Fan.